Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. A Wednesday tradition here. The chaplain is in on Wednesdays, and today the chaplain is indeed in. This hour we tackle pastoral concerns, issues of the soul, the spirit, the heart, the family. And so we ask those of you who have particularly apologetics questions, the kind of questions we take virtually every other day, to hold off on those and let those who would like to take advantage of Father Vincent Serpa's spiritual direction, do so. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. And as I said, Father Vincent Serpa, the chaplain here at Catholic Answers, is our guest this hour. He is a Dominican priest. I added a syllable to Dominican.
Priest, yes.
Dominican, a priest, and a staff apologist here at Catholic Answers. How are you, Father Serpa?
Oh, I'm fine.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
And today we're celebrating a significant feast.
Yeah, today is Mary Hope of Christians, and it's St. John Chrysostom had great devotion. He was, one of the earlier ones, and certainly St. John Bosco and the Salesians. I remember when I was a kid, there was a little church in Oakland, California, that was called Mary Hope of Christians. It was a little wood church. I don't think it's there anymore. It was an adjunct to one of the other parish that they staffed, I believe. In any case, but I ran, this morning somebody sent me an email about Mary Hope of Christians and Our Lady of China. And I've never heard the term before, but this does exist. See what it says here. Very, very pretty picture, painting of Our Lady, looking Chinese and holding the Christ child. And Mother Teresa had great devotion. She was very concerned about the church in China, was always praying. And there's a story that dates back the turn of the century, 20th century. Chinese Christian missionaries, it says here, and other foreigners were being terrorized and killed by tens of thousands of mostly young rural Chinese Boxers. They were called Boxers, and upset over a severe drought and the growing of foreign imperialist influence. In the end, over 30,000 Christians, mostly Chinese, were martyred during the Boxer Rebellion. Yet in a few chosen communities, something truly remarkable took place. As the Boxers' reign of terror fell upon Beijing, over 3,000 poor Chinese Christians, as well as missionary priests and foreign soldiers, took refuge in the North Cathedral in the Chinese, as the Chinese Boxers laid siege to the church. The Boxers' daily assaults using modern guns and artillery were only broken up at night, when inexplicably they would reflect their firepower to the roof of the cathedral at a time when Christian faithful were most vulnerable to attack. All the while, the beleaguered Christians offered nonstop prayer to God for protection. After 2 months of holding out against the Boxers' relentless attack, Christians were rescued when Alliance forces were able to retake Beijing and defeat the Boxers. Yet, as the Boxers were led away, one of the priests insistently inquired as why each night the Boxers mysteriously redirected their fire away from the main church to shoot at the rooftops. Rather confounded, the Boxers replied, "How could you not have seen? Surely she was with you. Nightly upon the roof she would come, the lady in white and her army of winged soldiers." Through such examples of divine intercession in China, in which God had sent his Blessed Mother and angels to protect many of the Christian faithful, arose the prayer of devotion to Our Lady of China, help of Christians. As though often difficult to fathom God's will in our own lives amidst times of difficulty or persecution for our Christian faith, this story hopefully serves as a reminder for us that God is always with us, watching us, guiding us, protecting us. We have but to truly believe and follow, trusting in his love for us and his desire for our greatest joy. He is our hope. It is with this hope that we, our voices, join in praying for China today. the asking the Lord, our Blessed Mother's help in the face of this kind of unrest, as happened in many instances where she's responded. And one of them, of course, was the great Battle of Lepanto in 1572 at the bequest of Pope St. Pius V, the Dominican Pope, who had everybody on the Christian ships praying the rosary. Everyone had a rosary, and it was through the prayers to Our Lady for help from God that miraculously, with this little band of Christians, were so outnumbered, were victorious and saved Europe at that time from being taken over by Islam. One might think that this is an appropriate time for us to take up the rosary and with the same intent and same trust and love for God.
Because so much of what the church loves and so much of what the church is under attack.
Absolutely.
Today.
Yeah, well, everywhere.
And
as certainly the people of England will testify.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, thank you for sharing that, mm-hmm. Father. I tried to open your email about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Well, if you Google Our Lady of China, you'll get it. You'll
Our
get
Lady of China. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So, I don't know what's wrong with the email thing, but anyway. So I thought that would be something to reflect on today, since today is also the Feast of Our Lady of Christians. Mary Help of Christians, as I should say.
Right. Yeah. Mary Help of. She has so many titles.
She does.
She has. And do you know, not all of the titles have a feast. I mean, she has lots of titles that don't
have a feast.
Well, at least
they don't have a feast here.
They might in another place. Yeah.
Certainly where there is a feast of I believe there's a feast for St. Catherine Laboure, who received the Miraculous Medal, but we don't have that feast in our country. Only the Daughters of Charity and the Vincentian Fathers have. I wanted to know. I thought, you know, the Miraculous Medal is the second most popular devotion in the church after the Rosary, and we don't have we don't celebrate that feast, and yet we have some obscure saints in our calendar here that nobody knows anything about. It's hard to identify with, you know. But I asked, you know, how does this happen? And I was told that it starts in a local diocese. If you get a diocese to do it, and then it becomes popular, and then the bishop can mention that, you know, when he meets with the other bishops, and that's how it happens. So nothing's happened. I didn't have the time to do that.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Father Vincent Serpa, our guest today, the chaplain is in. That means we are focused on pastoral questions today, questions about family relationships or other relationships, questions about the spiritual life, questions about sin and redemption and mercy. All of those are welcome. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 28:16, the 11 apostles went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, he approached them and said, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always until the end of the age. He told them to make disciples through sacrament and word. Notice there is no mention of the Bible here, or anywhere in Scripture for that matter. It was by word of mouth that the church began, and the direct authority he gave it. Eventually, words were written, codified, and compiled into one volume. This he left for his church to do, which it eventually accomplished. Today, he remains with the church and guides it with the same authority he gave it so long ago. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy to have you here with us on this Wednesday afternoon. The chaplain is in. That's Father Vincent Serpa. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and we're taking any calls you've got on issues of a pastoral nature, issues of prayer or spirituality, that kind of thing. Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. If you really want to see a comedy, you should see Father and I trying to work the technology during the breaks. It is exciting in here watching us try to get everything.
You're funnier, you're funnier than I am.
Well, man, because I'm less skilled than you
no,
are.
No, that's not true.
Okay. Father, a lot of calls. You want to go straight to calls?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to Chelsea in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Chelsea, your question for Father Vincent Serpa. No? Chelsea, you with us?
Hello.
Oh, hi. Hi, yeah. Chelsea. You have a question for Father?
Hi.
Hi.
So I've seen in some examination of consciences mm-hmm. before going to confession, there's something called willful doubt of church doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what exactly willful doubt would be and what makes that mortal.
Okay, well, one can have a doubt in which one doesn't understand something and think, oh, I don't really understand this. And it's just the fact that you don't understand something. And on the other hand, one can deliberately, because one doesn't understand something, just say, well, that can't be. I don't believe that. Well, that's willful doubting. To have doubts that are involuntary or thoughts of not understanding what's being taught can be a humble, an honest experience. But to deliberately say, I know better, it's rather arrogant to say, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't believe that. When the church for over 2,000 years has been teaching it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and because we don't understand it, we automatically say that it's not credible. That's willful, and that's not right. That's not coming from a humble heart. To not be able to understand something and be perplexed by it, and acknowledge that is honest. It's not a prideful act at all. It's a recognition that there's something in me that isn't capable of understanding something. But it's not suggesting that. Because I don't understand it, the church is wrong. That's rather arrogant. Does that help?
Yes. So take, for example, Canon 917 says that we are allowed to partake of the Eucharist twice per day.
Mm-hmm.
If I partook at one Mass, but then at the other Mass I did not because I just felt kind of weird about it,
mm-hmm.
Even though I knew that I was able to.
Mm-hmm.
What would that be?
Well, for one thing, that's not a matter. That's more a matter of discipline than a matter of church's teaching, but it is operating on your feeling rather than on. What you know to be, because if the church says it's okay to do, then it's okay to do. The church determines that. It has that authority. So, from now on, if that should happen, go against your feeling and go with what you believe and not with what you think or what you feel, because feelings are transitory. They don't necessarily represent what really is. You can feel guilty and not really be guilty, or you can be guilty and not feel guilty, or feelings are things we have. They're not what we are. So if the church says that you can receive communion both both of those masses, you can do so. But the church says you can. It doesn't say you have to. The church, you know, the church isn't saying the second mass you have to receive, but you certainly may. And if you don't feel right about it, then your feelings are not reacting to the reality, because the reality is that it is allowed. It is okay to do.
Chelsea, thank you very much for that call. I hope that was helpful to you. We go now to Anonymous in Fairport, New York, listening on the Station of the Cross. Anonymous, your question for Father Serpa.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. My question has to do with in social settings or in work settings, being introduced to people that are obviously of a different sex than they identify with, a transgender person, and then bumping into the same, and you can tell me if it's the same or different, I've kind of viewed it the same way, same-sex couples who identify their other person as husband or wife. So, you know, a woman saying this is my wife, or a man saying this is my husband.
Mm-hmm.
These are just, you know, nonchalant work or social, just hello, hi, who are you type of thing. You know, not trying to get into a deep question that involves, you know, many-minute discussion or something like that. I'm just wondering, is it okay to kind of go along with, okay, this person, this man wants to be called she, fine, her, you know, use those pronouns, this person, hi, this is my wife, this is this person's wife. Is it okay to do those things? I get it. I'm just concerned whether I'm one, condoning it, or two, also just lying. Like, what's the borderline there with telling the truth versus lying?
Well, I think that it's not necessarily lying. To refer to a person the way they ask you to refer to them can be an act of charity. It doesn't mean that you believe that's what they are. This is what they ask you to do. You know, non-Catholics do that with Catholic priests. They'll call the priest father, even though they don't necessarily consider the priest a spiritual father. But it's what's expected for Catholics. And so out of respect for people who differ from them, they use the term that the people ask them to use. It's a matter of being polite and considerate, and you know, to do it otherwise, you just cause a lot of trouble and a lot of hurt. You don't bring anyone to your side of thinking or your way of thinking. All it does is cause you know, the problem is much deeper than, you know, reacting to everything that you disagree with. You're not going to convince anybody by just, you know, all that happens is that you antagonize the person, and people are hurt, and I don't see any good coming from it. So out of respect for them, even though you don't agree with them, you use the term, even though it may be difficult to do. It's a matter of putting the other person first in that instance. When you have an opportunity to discuss the situation, then you can give your opinion and so on. But to, you know, you can't do that every time you have contact with them. So I think that it causes more harm than good to make an issue out of it every time you encounter them.
And Anonymous dropped, I assume, to listen on the radio.
Oh, okay.
So we don't have we can't have a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. But it does seem that these situations are proliferating. And if you're going to be a crusader in every situation, you're going to be very, very busy these days.
That's true. And yeah. And very, very tired, too.
Yeah, maybe tired of yourself after a while.
Yeah.
We're taking calls of a pastoral nature today. You need help with a spiritual issue, an emotional issue, a family issue. Father Vincent Serpa is here to help. 888-31-TRUTH is the number, 888-318-7884. We go now to Mike in Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin, listening on 88.5 FM. Mike, you're on with Father Vincent Serpo. What's your question?
Hi there. I was born and raised Roman Catholic, and matter of fact, in the late 60s, I was an altar boy and using the old Latin Rite Masses. Mm-hmm. And eventually, the church went from the Latin Rite Mass to English, and now it's the Vatican II. I just went along with the flow, thinking that's what you're supposed to do. And a friend of mine lately has been telling me that the new Mass, Novus Ordo, is deceiving people. It's some of it is actually satanic, on and on and on. And he gave me a pamphlet about how 66 Protestant ministers worked with Pope Paul to change the Mass over.
Mike, I got to interrupt you. Mike, hang on a sec. I just got to interrupt you. It's not to be rude to you, but it's very, very difficult to hear because of the connection on your phone. And it seems, but it does seem very clear what direction you're going. So, just as an act of mercy to the listener who on the radio, that's going to be rough on them. You're asking about, is the Novus Ordo Mass in fact a legitimate Mass, or is it in some way a damaged version of the Mass? That's correct, Mike?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
indeed
you.
It is. And you know, you stop to think about it. Why would the Pope, you know, need five Protestant ministers to help him redo the Mass? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And this is not to disparage Protestant ministers. It just doesn't, you know, that didn't happen. You know, the church has the authority to change the Mass, and it did. But the church also has the authority to allow Tridentine Mass to be offered again. And publicly, and it is. But to say that it's satanic and all this nonsense, that's, you know, the church had the authority to determine the Tridentine Mass to be as it was, and it still has that same authority. Nothing has changed. So yes, the Novus Ordo Mass, the new order of the Mass, is legitimate, and it is invalid. It is valid. And the Eucharist is valid, and that's it. So welcome back, and don't fear receiving communion at the Latin at the Novus Ordo Mass, whether it's in English or in Latin, or if should you attend the Tridentine Mass as well. Okay.
All right, Mike.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Mike. And again, I'm sorry to have had interrupted you there. We'll go to Ray now in Lexington, Kentucky, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching on YouTube, everyone, including Ray. Ray, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
So, Father, I had a question. I'm in an awesome Catholic men's group, and we were talking about the Mass and, you know, eating meat on Friday. Could be, you know, during Lent would be a mortal sin. Mm-hmm. And I could see how it could be sinful in like a venial way. I just wanted some more clarification on why the church deems that as mortally sinful.
Well, when you consider, the thing is, when the church takes a strong stand like that, it's because the matter is very serious. And you consider what happened on Good Friday, it's extremely serious. And for us to ignore that and to act like it's not is sinful. It's turning our back on the Lord, on turning the back on the Lord that was willing to become incarnate and suffer and die for us. That's not a minor thing. That our faith is based on. That's the very core of the faith, the very heart of what we believe. So, not eating meat on Good Friday is a very minor thing compared to what the Lord endured on Good Friday. That we be we have a chance at heaven. So. You know, it's a matter of looking at the context and what's really going on here. That's a very serious matter because, you know, the Lord showed us the ultimate act of love. You know, by giving His own life, His own blood. The least we can do is acknowledge that by denying ourselves a little on the Fridays of Lent, and other Fridays as well, for that matter.
Ray.
All right. Well, thank you, Father. I never thought about it that way. I appreciate it.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much, Ray, for that call. More calls coming up on this hour with the chaplain. The chaplain is in. Father Vincent Serpa is our chaplain here at Catholic Answers. Questions of a pastoral nature, questions of the heart, questions of the soul, questions of prayer life, family. We're happy to take those. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Jerry Usher.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. Well, I would describe myself as a revert. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday through Saturday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
As legend tells it, 500 years ago, a disaffected Augustinian priest nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral. The evidence that he actually did this is pretty thin, but Martin Luther's objections to Catholic teachings concerning purgatory and indulgences set off a series of countless ruptures that the Church suffers to this very day. The faithful Catholic wants to be God's instrument in healing these ruptures, but may not know where to begin. Join us this September 28th to 30th as we tackle the topic at Catholic Answers 4th National Apologetics Conference, the Reunion of All Christians, a lively and inspiring conference designed to ignite and inform your faith. We've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. This is an event you don't want to miss. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to leave you wanting more. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Thank you so much for being with us this Wednesday afternoon on Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa, our chaplain, is in. We're taking questions of a pastoral nature this hour, and if you've got a pastoral-type question, we're happy to take that call. If you have a more apologetics-oriented question, if we'd ask you, just wait for another time. We're happy to take those apologetics questions, just not this hour. This is a more pastoral time. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer it spelled. Father, we go now to Robin in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on EWTN. Robin, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Father, my son died in August, and at the time I was very distraught and just wanted to bring him home with me. He died in another state, and I knew that the Catholic Church allowed for cremation, so he was cremated, and part of his remains came home with me, and the other part were buried in the veteran cemetery, the military cemetery in another state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after that, the Catholic Church came out with the standards for cremation, and so now I have parts of my son in with me and the other part in the veteran cemetery, and now the veteran cemetery will not reopen the cremation site to allow the rest of his remains to be put in all together. What can I do? What should I do spiritually? And is this something that both for my son so that he's together and for me spiritually, because I made this horrible mistake that I now feel terrible about?
Well, yeah, because ordinarily Catholics aren't allowed to keep the remains at home. But do you have a plot or anything for yourself and your husband for when you die? Have you done that yet? Some people do it early, some people don't. You don't? Do you have a plot already?
I do not have one yet.
Okay. So, because I was going to say, if you had one already, you could just have those remains put in it to be with yours. Then I would suggest that you go to your local diocesan cemetery and ask if you can, have the rest of those remains put there, because the remains of those who are buried in Catholic cemeteries benefit from masses that are frequently offered there for the people who are buried or those who are interred there in one way or another. That would be the thing to do. Do you think you could do? Does that sound possible for you?
Absolutely, as long as it's okay that not all of them will be there.
That's okay. I wouldn't worry about that, because there are many saints that you know, they've taken pieces of bone and so on as relics, you know, and so they're all over the place. But that's not disrespectful. It's just the opposite, really. So in this instance, there would be no problem. And you're certainly, since part of your son's remains would be in the Catholic cemetery, he'd benefit from the masses that are celebrated there for those souls.
Thank you so much.
You're
I
welcome.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Robin. And we're very sorry for your loss.
Yes.
Thank you very much for the call today. We go now to Marty in Shelton, Connecticut, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Marty, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Father, thank you for taking my question.
Sure.
I'm wondering if you still receive the benefit of grace if you do not forgive someone who is trespassed against you.
Okay, a lot depends on whether what you mean by forgive. If you still have negative feelings about the person, but you've tried to forgive them, then you've willed to forgive, even though your feelings aren't going according to what you willed. Is that the case?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I wouldn't worry about it. The sacraments will give you the grace that they're supposed to give you, because it's not your fault that your feelings aren't falling into line with what you want, and that's okay. As long as you want to forgive the person, even though you don't feel forgiving, that doesn't matter. The forgiveness, real forgiveness, is a result of what we will, not what we feel. Okay?
What about at a certain time you did not want to forgive the person?
Sometimes you mean that changes sometimes from what you're wanting to, and then you don't
want
to?
Well, no, it was an initial...
Okay. But now, but since then you've decided, since then... Your emotions have calmed down, and you want to forgive him.
Yes.
Yeah. Then you're fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much. We go now to Lillian in Dover, Delaware, listening to EWTN Radio. Lillian, your question for Father Serpa.
Hello.
Hi.
I was divorced 14 years ago. I did not want to be divorced. My seemingly devout Catholic husband had a midlife crisis, left the church, left us, and now all these years later, after all the prayers and my continuing to believe in our vows, he's making motions to come back. Mm-hmm. However, he's coming back as a devout Protestant, mm-hmm. and he wants nothing to do with the Catholic Church. And I'm asking, is this the answer to prayer? I don't know that I can even trust him with his Protestant take on divorce.
Yeah, my 14 years is a long time. If he wants to really reconcile, there should be. I would wait. I would wait and be friends with him, see where he's coming from, how stable he is, and also, you know, what you believe. What he did was he just left the family completely. Is that it?
Yes, and he remarried, and now that's ended.
Annulment. Do you have children?
We have adult children, and for the sake of the grandchildren, mm-hmm. I wish we could all get along and mm-hmm. give a good example.
Right. But it sounds like once he didn't have the other spouse... Then he wants to get back again. I don't know. I would be very careful before doing anything permanent. He'd have to prove himself, because his behavior so far has not been trustworthy. So I would go very slow on this one if I were you.
Sure. That's what I don't want to be lacking in mm-hmm. faith and not believing
right.
God. Answers to prayer, but this doesn't feel right.
No, well, and God has given you an intellect to determine this intellectually, to look at it, look at what it is, and then make a decision intellectually, not based on feeling, but on what you know to be right. And you need to observe him and see just how stable he is. I, you know, he, as I say, he has an awful lot to answer for. So I wouldn't just overnight, because he wants to do it, just acquiesce. That wouldn't be wise, I don't think.
Well, am I wrong to think that if this was really from God, that he would come back to the Catholic Church and seem truly converted?
Well, that could very well be as well, although I don't know. I mean, we don't know that. But right now he's a question mark. And as long as he remains a question mark, I wouldn't make any moves if I were you.
Thank you very much, Lillian, for that call. 888-318-7884 is our number. The chaplain is in with us this hour, Father Vincent Serpa, chaplain here at Catholic Answers, taking calls of a pastoral nature. We will get back to more of those calls right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live. Right now, Catholic Answers is conducting its summer campaign. It's a crucial time because we need to offset the drop in donations that occurs every summer. If you're able to give $50 or more to thank you for your support, we have several gifts we'd like to send you. First, a signed copy of the full 3-CD set, Lepanto, The Battle That Saved the West, so that you can get the full story about this crucial, history-changing intervention of Our Lady of the Rosary. We'll also send you the three latest volumes in our 20 Answers series. They cover apparitions and revelations, witchcraft and the occult, and the Church. If you're able to donate $90 or more, we'll also send you Carlo Broussard's CD, Your Truth, My Truth, How to Understand and Refute Relativistic Thinking, which has a free 38-page downloadable study guide. We'll also send you Stephen Weidenkopf's 2-CD set, The Real Story of the Reformation, just in time for its 500th anniversary. And we'll send you Dr. Edward Sree's new book, Who Am I to Judge? Responding to Relativism with Logic and Love. Finally, if you're able to donate $180 or more, we'll also send you Trent Horn's 12-part audio interview series, The Apologetics Collection, in which he picks the brains of people like Carl Keating, Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Patrick Madrid, Steve Ray, Devin Rose, and more on a host of the most pressing apologetic issues. Finally, we'll send you a hardback copy of the beautiful, illustration-filled book, Fatima Mysteries, Mary's Message in the Modern Age, just in time for the celebrations happening now of the famous Fatima apparitions, which took place exactly 100 years ago. Every year, Catholic Answers seeks to win souls for Christ in countless ways, but we can't do this without your help. To learn how you can help Catholic Answers, visit Catholic.com and click the 2017 Summer Campaign banner. That's the 2017 Summer Campaign banner at Catholic.com.
Homeschool Connections has recently formed a partnership featuring a dual enrollment program with Franciscan University of Steubenville. Our website is homeschoolconnections.com. We are a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The chaplain is in this hour. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be in with us. We're going to talk about the rhyme and reason of theism. And I'm glad Carlo's coming. He fires good. Us up a little bit before.
Good. Yep. Yes.
You're down there in the same hallway with Carlo.
All right.
Does he make a lot of noise?
No, he's pretty quiet.
Pretty easy to get along with?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right. He comes down and complains about your music blaring, your acid rock that blares out of your office all the time.
That will be the day.
He says, hi, can I just hang out in your office for a while? 888-318-7884 is the number. Cassandra in Long Beach, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on with our chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Hi. So I've been in a relationship for 2 years, and we just recently kind of parted ways. I realized that it was affecting my spiritual walk with God, and I'm wondering how to pray for him, because I still have feelings for him and I love him, and I, put him over to God so he can take care of him. But I'm moving into this new beautiful space in which I have realized that God's like my main priority. So my biggest question being is, how can I pray for this man that I used to love so that he can also one day walk with God in history?
Well, the best way to pray for him at this point is to ask the Lord to help him and that you're quite willing to be separate from him. But you want the good, you want his good. It's not a matter you're taking your ego out of the whole thing, and you're asking the Lord to put him where he wants him, and that you're not asking to change history, but you just want him to be right with the Lord, and you want to proceed with your own life as the Lord would, and follow wherever the Lord takes you. That's easy enough to do. It may not always feel good, but that's not important. What's important is what you do, what you will. And what you want is that he come close to the Lord as the Lord wants him, because you know the Lord wants him anyway and was willing to die for him and did, in fact. Your feelings will eventually mellow out. It takes a while. Don't be surprised that they're still around. But that's true of life, you know. We go by what we know is right and let the feelings follow. We don't let them lead us. We let them follow us. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Cassandra, for that call. I forgot to mention, Father, Feast of the Ascension tomorrow.
It is indeed. It's the Holy Day of Obligation.
Yep.
Well, and some dioceses. Most dioceses, it's not. It's transferred to Sunday. Kind of strange celebrating Thursday and Sunday, but nevertheless.
Ascension Thursday, Sunday is what we call it now in some places. Well, depending on what the bishops of that area have decided.
And the reason for that is the concern, again, about keeping the family together because, you know, if you can keep holidays together, then the whole family can enjoy the same holidays. Before Catholic schools were closed on days like this, but then the children are separate from the parents. Parents are at work. The kids. I remember my novices used to really rail at this because they thought church was just weakening. But the reason for it is recognizing the difficulties that families have today because of the way things are.
Right. And I know that families often appreciate it when priests acknowledge that it is difficult on families
it
now.
Is.
It's
mm-hmm.
not, that's not just blowing smoke. It really is difficult on families today. 888-318-7884 is our number. So where you are, it may be or it may not be a holy day of obligation tomorrow. But if you have an opportunity to go to Mass, it is the Feast of the Ascension tomorrow, and you're allowed to go. Even in places where you don't have an obligation. Lap in Dallas, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Well, thank you, Father, for taking my call, and thank you, Sai, for taking my call also. Mm-hmm. My question is, I'm in June, in a couple of weeks, I'll be going, my first time ever going to the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes in France. And I was wondering if, Father, you can give me some advice on how I should spiritually prepare to go to the shrine and hopefully receive whatever graces that God.
Well, for one thing, I would ask my friends if they would like you to remember them or to pray if they have some particular thing that they're praying for that you'd like them to pray at Lourdes for them. You might make a list, you know, of who people that might want you to remember their intentions while you're there. It would be a nice thing to do. The other thing was simply to ask the Lord to help you to be open to whatever graces he gives you when you go there. I think those are two valid ways of preparing. Okay.
Well, thank you. That's very, very helpful because I have this opportunity, but I never thought until as I'm getting closer and becoming like, what should I do? What should I be getting ready for? But thank you, Father.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you, Lap, for that call. 888-318-7884 is the number. Carlo Broussard in here next hour. We're going to discuss theism, the rhyme and the reason of theism. I asked Darren if I could go early because I wanted to beat the the Ascension Thursday traffic.
Oh, is that? Well, yeah. How?
But he didn't believe me that there would be Ascension.
Didn't.
No. People going home early to get started, but he, for some reason he didn't seem to take me seriously. Amanda in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You have a question for Father Vincent Serpa?
Yes. Hi, Father.
Hi.
I just wanted to ask concerning the Catholic Church with its priorities on fellowship and the church and community and unity.
I was kind of questioning that just because out of all my years in the Catholic Church, I was born into it. I never really felt like a closeness with the community members of the church, but like 1 year I spent with a non-denominational church, and it got me way closer to God because of the community that they had among its members. So I was just wondering, like, how high is community I guess the list of priorities with the Catholic Church?
Well, community basically is a co-unity. It's coming together, you know, together as one. And you can have community in secular situations, you know, where everybody feels good about each other. They have a common reason for being together. But the community that really matters is the one that has Jesus himself as the unifier. And it's not so much a result of how we feel about each other or how we feel when we're there. It's about the fact that he is there, that we are celebrating his passion and resurrection when we're at Mass. When we see the bread and the wine separate on the altar, we know that he died. And that body and blood of Christ is what unites us. That's why we're there. We're there to worship him, not to make ourselves feel good. Quite often, to be close to him is not to feel comfortable. It's to be to carry our crosses, which, you know, are very real. You know, everyone has a cross of some sort, but we go there to get strength in that because we love him, and we're there to please him and to recognize how much he loves us by what he was willing to do. And that is the most important fact in our lives, not who's surrounding us, but him. We're there about him, not about us. That's why we go to Mass. That's what Mass is so different than anything else in the world, because it is the very reality of his passion brought into our lives in a concrete way. Nobody could ever buy that. It was paid for by his blood. And so we go to church not to feel community, but to recognize his love for us and to enter into it and to love him as unconditionally as possible, so that we're willing to endure anything for him who is willing to endure so much for ourselves. It's just a very different dynamic, and I must say a much deeper one. It's not doesn't rest on how we feel, but on the reality of his love for us.
Amanda, how does that strike you?
That sounds like a great answer. That's what I've heard from other Catholic members. So I just wasn't quite certain on what they were saying, but it seems like you've wrapped up what they were trying to say.
Okay,
so
well,
thank
good.
You.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much for that call. We go now to Georgia. For Miriam in Ahira, Georgia, is listening on iCatholic Radio, the iCatholic Radio app. Miriam, your question for Father Serpa.
Yes, thank you. Hi, Father.
Hi.
My question is, I have a cousin who, she's a woman, and she's married to a woman, and they, through in vitro fertilization, they have a daughter, and they're trying to get pregnant again. And I'm just wondering what the most charitable and truthful way to respond to that. She hasn't told me herself yet. My mom let me know that they were trying, and I don't want to damage the relationship, but at the same time, I want to be authentic. And since they're going to be in our lives, I want to make sure that, you know, they kind of know where we stand, and also, you know, just the best way to respond when she tells me, I guess.
Well, if it's with a lot of other people around, I wouldn't say much. If you're around her or by yourselves, then you might mention that you don't support it because it's unnatural. It's not what God designed. We're, you know, there are fathers involved, you know, at least who are sperm donors, but are not going to live as fathers. And children have a right to have a mother and a father. They couldn't have been conceived without a man and a woman. So there's so much unreality in that. But they may not be even close to openness to what you're saying. But again, I wouldn't do it in a public way, but privately, so they know where you stand, and tell them that you love them, but you disagree with what they're doing. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Miriam. Matt in Marina del Rey, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on with Father Vincent Serpa. What's your question?
Hi. Yes. Several points in my life, I've probably been considered a bad Catholic. I've fallen away from the church and come back around and increased my faith. I was a little troubled recently in the recent months by a statement from the Pope that he hinted that it was better to be an atheist than a bad Catholic. And I was curious, in what ways might it be better to be an atheist than a bad Catholic?
Well, he was saying that to shake people up, and obviously it has. An atheist who is sincere in his or her atheism, they may be certainly misinformed, but they're following their consciences. A bad Catholic, a Catholic is somebody who at some time has accepted the teachings of the Church, the teachings of Jesus Christ, and then have turned their back on him. When they become what we would call a bad Catholic, they choose themselves over him. So that, and doing that, that's a worse thing, because he loves us, and to have said that we believe in him and then to act as if we don't is a real slap in his face. You know, where an atheist never did acknowledge that he believed, and so that's the harm in it. Do you understand that?
I understand.
Yeah. That's what he was saying.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Matt. I think we have time to go to Rich in Melbourne, Florida, listening on 920 AM. Rich, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa. Your question, please.
Yes, hi. I noticed in my parish that there are divorced Eucharistic ministers. Is that allowed? Should they be giving the body and blood of Christ to
us?
Well,
are they divorced and then remarried outside of the church? Or are they just divorced?
No, just divorced.
They may not have even wanted to be divorced. The other spouse divorced them. But the church allows divorce for the separation of goods that had been held in common. But in no way does it acknowledge that the state has the right to dissolve a valid marriage. So they're, in the church's eyes, they're still married. But as long as they're living a life of grace, they're not attempting to live in a non-celibate way, they're perfectly perfectly all right for them to be Eucharistic ministers, or extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist, or lectors at Mass, or whatever. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wasn't sure if Rich maybe meant divorced and remarried, but many people are a victim.
Yes,
of divorce.
That's right.
And I sometimes think we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Father Vincent Serpa has been our guest chaplain here at Catholic Answers Live. Coming up next, Carlo Bussard. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Carlo and I are going to discuss theism. Carlo, he likes to get into the philosophical stuff.
Yes, he does.
Is it coherent and reasonable to believe that God exists? That's his question. I want you to guess, Father, which way do you think he's going to go on that? Is it coherent and reasonable to believe that God exists?
I'd rather not. I'd rather not involve myself in that program.
Really? Father.
Okay. For the church, I'd say yes.
Okay. For Carlo, too. I can see Carlo standing right there. He wants you to affirm that, yes, he does believe it is coherent and reasonable to believe in God. Carlo Bussard coming up on Catholic Answers Live right after this.